Radio.
Hi, I'm Lloyd Gilbert, and you're listening to Cradio. I'm a board member of Cradio, and I've got a very important announcement to make in, you know, a key milestone of Cradio, and that is a strategic relationship we've set up with the Thomas More Society. The Thomas More Society is a representative body for Catholic lawyers. Here with me today, I have Michael McCauley, who is the president of the Thomas More Society. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
If you can start, Michael, by just telling us a bit about the Thomas More Society, when it started, you know, how many members you have, etc. If you can give us an overview, that would be great.
The Thomas More Society was established after the Second World War. It has approximately 500 members. It's got members principally in Sydney, but all over New South Wales and Australia. It's a society of Catholic lawyers, so there are some non-Catholics who are associate members. Its principal functions are two, really. First of all, each year it helps with the Red Mass, which is for the opening of a law term. Secondly, it promotes discussion amongst lawyers as to relationship between faith and ethics, between law and religion, and that's really the focus of its activities. So it has speakers from time to time. Because it's a Catholic organisation, it's interested in particular, a Catholic approach to ethics and a Catholic approach to law. Of course, in recent times, there have been enormous developments as far as the way the Church describes and explains ethics and law. There's been the Catechism of the Catholic Church published. There's also been the Veritatis Splendor, which is the first encyclical of any pope on questions of moral theology. And that's an encyclical that has enormous significance as far as both ethics and law is concerned. And there's thirdly been the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church, which is really the culmination of over 100 years of Catholic social thought, beginning with Leo the 13th, at the end of the 19th century. So they're the sorts of things we're interested in.
That's very interesting. And can you tell us a bit about Thomas More and why he is the patron of the Thomas More Society?
Well, St. Thomas More, of course, is a Catholic saint. He's the patron saint of lawyers and statesmen. He died in 1535. He lost his head at the instigation of Henry VIII, who had declared himself the head of the Church in England. Thomas More was a humanist. He was a proponent of the new learning. He was a scholarly person. He was a person who wrote books. He was also heavily involved in politics. He was effectively, before his imprisonment, he was effectively what we'd now term the Prime Minister of England. He had a reputation all over England, and not only in England, but in Europe, generally, as a great humanist. He was an opponent of Luther, but he was also the friend of Erasmus. He was a remarkable man, so despite a very demanding public life and intellectual life, and despite the demands of his large family, he was also a person of intense spirituality. And, of course, that intense spirituality ultimately was what led him to refuse to take an oath, accepting Henry VIII as head of the Church in England. He didn't accept it. He said nothing until after a bodgy trial. He was convicted of treason and sentenced to death. He then declared his views publicly, but there was no real doubt about them. And he went to the chopping block, as it were, with a friendly word to the axeman and a joke, as well as showing all the signs of a saintly person who forgave even his greatest enemy, who was, of course, Henry VIII.
A fascinating history. Can you tell us a bit about, you know, what you do for your members in terms of, you know, formation and other Catholic matters?
Well, we have an annual retreat each year. We have talks from time to time. The Thomas More Society is a society which you can take or leave. Often you have members who are members of the society for many, many years. I think I've been a member of the Thomas More Society for something in the order of 40 years. I'm not quite sure when I first joined it, but it was a long time ago. Because we're interested in questions of ethics and faith and ethics and law and faith, we have speakers from time to time who can give us insights. Sometimes they're distinguished lawyers like Murray Gleeson, the Honourable Murray Gleeson, former Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia. We had the Chief Justice French at the High Court of Australia at our last patronal feast day dinner, but we also have speakers who can provide a specific formative input, and of course we're particularly interested in the concept of natural law, which is really integral to the way the Church sees ethics, and that's got a long history. It's got a history going back to the Greeks. In a certain sense, it's said that the concept of natural law was baptised by the Church, and there's some truth in that. The greatest exponent of natural law was St. Thomas Aquinas, who lived in the 13th century, and his treatise on law and his treatise on justice is well worth reading even today. In his treatise on justice, he discusses the role of judges, of witnesses, of advocates, and from time to time I'm asked the question, how can you act for a murderer? And that's an interesting question, and there's a simple answer to that, and if you go to Thomas Aquinas' treatise on justice, you can find a very current answer to that question. The whole issue of natural law is it continues to be at the centre of legal thought. Basically, the idea of natural law is that there are there's a transcendent right and wrong, good and evil, which prevails regardless of circumstances. And of course, if you're looking at situations like the murder of millions of Jews by the Nazis during the Second World War, or some of the atrocities committed by other warring parties, which may well have been quite legal, the only way in which those grossly wrongful acts can be criticised is on the basis of a transcendent law. And more recently, of course, we've had the murder of Muslims in Kosovo, in Yugoslavia, and of course we've had terrible mistreatment and killing of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in East Africa. Again, arguably lawful, but inconsistent with a natural law. So the concept of natural law is that whatever the positive law, the law of the state, there is a prevailing good and evil which must judge that law. And ultimately, of course, St. Thomas More was a person who died, in a sense, for natural law. He died for his conscience, an informed conscience, which told him that to take the oath and tell a lie, namely that Henry VIII was the head of the church in England, was a lie, contrary to natural law, and he wasn't going to do it, and he died for that proposition. In our present day, there's an argument about what are called exceptionalists, not moral norms, and the church, Pope John Paul II in Veritas et Splendor, has made it clear, as was done in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that there are some things one must never do.
Very interesting. Michael, part of Cradio's mission is to take our considerable, you know, resource library, you know, more than, you know, 1,000, you know, podcasts, etc., out to organisations. We want to take it out to schools, to parishes, to higher education, etc. And, you know, the Thomas More Society is the first example where we want to start to assist in the formation of your members, etc. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you want to proceed with that and what sorts of outcomes you'd like to get.
We'd be happy to make available to lawyers throughout New South Wales and indeed throughout Australia those sorts of resources. Our difficulty is that we need to be able to get out to members and potential members and their friends solid doctrinal material which is of value. You can imagine a solicitor, or perhaps a Catholic lawyer in a remote country or town who really doesn't have access to anything of any significance in terms of faith. And he needs things which will help his faith grow and develop and remain strong. We'd like to make those sorts of resources available not only to Catholic lawyers but to anyone, any person of any faith who was interested.
Thanks, Michael. It's been a pleasure to meet you today, and as I said at the beginning, we're just so excited about forming this partnership with the Thomas More Society, and we look forward to an ongoing relationship. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. Thanks very much.
That was Lloyd Gilbert speaking to St Thomas More Society President Michael McCauley. To find out more about the Society, visit www.stms.org.au. And for more interviews, talks and programs, visit cradio.org.au.
cradio.org.au